Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there and welcome to another episode of Scaling Wellness. I'm joined here today by Deborah Williams, who is a very experienced Pilates teacher. She's been in the industry for over 25 years and we've been working together recently on building her digital product. So Debs, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Very exciting.
Shall we start by talking through your kind of career, like your history in the wellness industry? Where have you come from? What have you been doing? How's that all kind of looked in the past?
Sure. Yeah. So I started doing Pilates when I was quite young, and about 17, and I sort of fell in love with it and only really started to teach because at the time I couldn't really afford to pay for, to train as regularly as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I trained to teach so I could sort of spend more hours in the studio. It meant that I could be there 5 hours at a time instead of for an hour. And so I kind of did it that way. And then I was working in London. So I was working all over the place at different studios and gyms, everywhere from sort of big fitness first, where you get like 35 to 50 people turning up, you know, for a one-off Pilates lesson that they've never done, to like really little boutique studios with like maybe a handful of people and all of the Pilates equipment. So I was sort of teaching all around the place. And it was fantastic as a career for me, because I've sort of always had two career paths, and this the other one being a music career, and this kind of enabled me to do both because it was kind of flexible hours and all that kind of thing. So I was teaching for many years, and then and also gigging at the same time, and then I had children and had to reassess everything, the gigging and teaching was fantastic because it meant I could go back in a few hours a day and, you know, when the kids were little and just kind of get back in the real world and, you know, be me. And so that was all great. And then after a few years of doing that and juggling kids and Pilates and music, there were sort of too many balls in the air. So I parked the Pilates for a little while so that I could focus on my music career, which I've been doing for like the last 10 years. And that was doing really very well. But my Pilates practice never stopped and my learning never stopped. And through that time, I trained as a yoga instructor and, you know, carried on with my obsession with personal development. And so, and, you know, was teaching a little bit, but not very much. And then I recently just started to feel, well, I've swung between both careers my whole life, but recently I just started to really not enjoy the fact that I didn't have financial stability and that my music career is very feast or famine. So you get these great jobs and lots of money and then you have these periods of absolute nothing where I'd still be working. And so I wanted to go back to doing something with Pilates, but I didn't want to go back to an hourly wage because I had, one, done that 25 years ago and that felt like I was going backwards. And two, that wasn't going to get me anything like the money I was used to earning.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I've got to do something which is actually going to, you know, build me a little financial stability and independence. And I had a course with a coach I was working with at the time, who's brilliant, and I'll probably end up working with her again. And we talked about creating a digital product. Mm-hmm. And then what happened is, you came along like some sort of serendipitous angel, just at the right time. You could use that, get t-shirt.
I need that.
What you had was what I was looking for in terms of somebody who actually really understood Pilates, the wellness industry, and course creation. So it was all of those things at exactly the right time. And so that's how we started working together. And I obviously had, you know, a lot of experience and a lot of passion and a lot to give, I think. Yeah, so it was just a case of trying to work out how that was going to look.
Yeah.
And then bundling it up.
Bundling it up, pulling it all together. I think there's a few things that I want to pull on there. I think one thing I really want to celebrate you for, and it's actually the person that I trained with when I very first started Pilates was a very, very tough teacher. He was a really incredible teacher, but it was really tough on us. And one of the things that he always said was, you really must understand this method in your body. It really has to be something that you embody as a teacher. You have to know it yourself, how it feels for you, or you can't teach it. And I find that you don't hear that much anymore. And what I've loved about working with you is that that is absolutely what you've come in with. That's like become a bit of a golden nugget for what you've gone on to create, hasn't it? That's very much your methodology.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I'd say I've been fortunate enough to always be able to choose career paths that are basically extensions of me. They're things that I absolutely love. And so I'm not creating a business and then, you know, doing what I love in the background. I'm making my business what I love to do. And so, and when it comes to Pilates, exactly that. The reason I do it is because it's just amazing, and it changed my life, and it continues to, you know, from a young age when I was having, you know, I was always kind of quite a lot of masculine energy. I was quite a pusher, and I was quite, even when I was doing training and stuff, I was always going for the hard edge. And when I did Pilates, it taught me about balance and about how often less is more, and about how, you know, you can balance your energy, you can balance your muscles. And so it really helped to shape who I am, I think. And so that is what I am passionate about. And that's what I think with this big boom of Pilates, which, let's face it, is great because a lot more people are doing it. I think a lot of people are missing that. It's not just, for me, it's not just a workout. It actually changes people, you know, inside and out. And so that's why, you know, I kind of, that's my line. Whether I'm able to convey that or whether people will really come away thinking, oh, I feel transformed, is another matter. But
And I think this is what led, you know, it was this kind of initial nugget of your passion for the product, if you like. So passion for the process that kind of led us down the next phase, wasn't it? Because you came to work with me not really knowing what you wanted that to look like, but knowing that you wanted some kind of offering in your world, in your business, that had the potential to be scalable and passive.
Yeah, so exactly.
Can you talk us through how you decided on this concept of what you now offer?
Yeah, I mean, it's still evolving. You know, and I imagine in a few months it might look quite different to how it is now. And that's what's quite nice when we're working with you is that you allow that to happen. You know, it's not like you've got to choose something and you get stuck with it. You know, you want it to grow and evolve. But right now I've got a course which focuses on the classical mat. And there are a few reasons that I thought that was good. The couple of reasons that I decided on classical, one was because it suits my body more now, having learned and I'm contemporary trained, and it's not so much about classical versus contemporary. It's that it actually works better for me. When I don't train in a classical way, I get injured a lot more. It doesn't suit my body. So there was that. And then there's also this kind of widespread Pilates everywhere, where I think it's being spread too thin. And a lot of the time we're losing the essence, we're losing the technique, we're losing so much of the gold. So with doing the classical mat, I think a lot of people, when they start teaching, teach mat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that means it's accessible for people without any equipment. And that was actually one of Joe Pilates's sort of mantras, was that you actually don't need anything. You just need your body and gravity. I also think that when you actually really understand the system of Pilates, which is a comprehensive system, there everything's intertwined, and all of the shapes the moves, the exercises, the connections that you do, you will see everywhere exactly the same across all the apparatus. So by doing this one thing, this little micro of Pilates, we can actually let it teach us about the whole system. And, you know, maybe in the future I'll be able to do more courses, you know, equipment courses. But for now, yes, I've got this mat course, which hopefully will just help people to kind of get a little bit of a different maybe angle if they haven't had classical training on what is possible.
Yeah.
And what is actually, you know, really great Pilates for then taking forward and making your own. You know, you have the basis, the roadmap, the actual beginnings. And then when you modify, when you change, when you adapt, when you use all your other wonderful things that you've learned about maybe strength training or maybe, you know, whatever your speciality is, you are adapting and modifying with intention and purpose and knowledge rather than just for variation's sake.
Yes. Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah. I think that's what is so often true is the, you know, this need for classes to be varied and exciting and flowy and create new and interesting, you know, transitions. And actually, sometimes that's just for the sake of Instagram, maybe, or,
yeah,
you know. But I think what was really, really interesting about working with you is that very often when people come into, whether it be Digital Course Creator or one-to-one, often I find that they come in with a lot of passion. They know their business, as in they know their method. So they might be yoga, Pilates, PT, whatever, nutrition. They know that, but they can't quite distill it down to what is their real interest in who they want to help and what they want to help them with. And I think that was one of the really interesting elements of working with you, is that when we get you onto this topic, it's like it lights you up. It sets a fire underneath you. And it goes from, you know, talking about, you know, we could have done menopause for Pilates, or we could have done weight loss with Pilates. We could have done so many different options. But this was the one. And this is what I so often say to people, is that find something that you really get excited and you could talk about, you know, given the opportunity, you could talk about with passion for, you know, a TED talk or a, you know, on stage or something that just gives you that kind of real fire. And I feel like that really comes across with you when you talk about Pilates generally as the method, but specifically classical.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's about finding something that you're bursting to share.
Yeah.
It's about something that you just want other people to enjoy like you enjoy. And then I think that will lead to that whole sort of the community aspect of it, where you're kind of finding your people. And it can be difficult as well. And I'm not sure I'm really there in terms of knowing exactly who my audience is, who my niche is, but I definitely know what it is that I love and what, you know, what I'm kind of hoping that other people will feel.
Well, one of the things that guided us, wasn't it, was when you had some conversations with a couple of teachers who said, I'd really like more of a mentorship. Can you talk about that? Because that kind of really guided the decisions you made about what the course was going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm trying to build a digital product, I'm a bit worried about that whole idea of how you could offer somebody mentorship without being there with them on a daily basis almost. But I think what it did is it made me realize how many people I suppose do want help. The people are really enthusiastic and they'll train and they'll go into it really wanting to make it work. And then they do a training and it just doesn't give them what they need often, not always, but it'll give them so much. And it depends on how comprehensive the training is, how good the training is, how many days the training took. But I mean, some people do a course, even if it takes a year, they just come out and they just think, yeah, but I don't really know how to teach Pilates. And it's about trying to handhold people in that way through that process. And then the mentorship thing is appealing because then you're getting to know people, I think. And then you get to witness a personal journey, which as a Pilates teacher, that's kind of why you teach. That's why you work with people, is because you want every person to have their own personal breakthrough, personal experience. Probably the same thing with you working in the things you do now, isn't it? Is that you're trying to witness sucked from the wind personal breakthroughs, you know. But it's not about the big picture necessarily. It's about those, you know, somebody sent me a message yesterday and they said, you know, I had really great feedback in my class yesterday. And I was like,
that's the win. That's your win. Yeah. I love that. And exactly. I feel like that's my win.
Yeah, it is your win.
Indirectly. Totally. I completely agree with you. It's not about the big stuff. You know, it can be the slight transformations, the slight changes in how people work or view themselves or what the possibilities they see for themselves, for their teaching. So I love that. So tell the people listening what you went on to create. Let's talk them through what your product became.
Right. It's a 6-week course, and each week it's drip fed. So you'll get 6 of the exercises of my book, which is actually falling apart because I opened it so much. So it's from the classical mat exercises. Each week they get access to 6 training videos where I show the whole exercise and then modifications and variations and breakdowns in about a 10-minute video for 6 of the exercises. And then they'll also have pre-recorded classes and workshops, 30 minutes or so they can practice and, you know, work out on their own body, which is probably more important than anything else, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then they're also... Every week there'd be a theme or something extra. So whether it would be, you know, a little video on classical Pilates and the evolution of it, or whether it's on, you know, equipment, or whether it's on, you know, different themes and topics. So yeah, that goes on for 6 weeks. And that's essentially it. There's also obviously the whole classical mat. So I've got a video of the whole classical mat and doing that. But it's very much about trying to debunk the idea that the classical is an advanced technique.
Yeah.
The advanced. But classical Pilates is actually just a name for Pilates.
Yeah.
So it's just the approach. It's just how you do it.
Just the knowledge. So where would you, if you were to talk us through, because we did quite a bit of work on this, on your messaging, where would you say that your ideal client begins and where do they end? So if before working with you and after working with you, what would you say that transition would look like?
That's a really good question. And I need to go away and I need to think about, because I think that will help me forward. But I think it's difficult to say right now, because I've got people who are very different stages in their Pilates journey, who are, maybe they're just being nice, but I've had feedback from both of those pool of people saying that they've learned a lot, they've come a long way. But I'd say what the biggest thing is, they'll go from having a concept of Pilates and what it means and what it involves to a clearer picture of it in terms of the connections in the body, the shapes that we're trying to make, and the overall intention of all of the exercises one by one and of the whole caboodle.
Them in terms of their, like from their teaching perspective, how does that help them with their work?
Well, if they want to teach Pilates, and I don't mean that facetiously, I mean, like some of them might do lots of different things, like be yoga teachers as well, or fitness trainers as well, or, you know, but if they want to teach Pilates, it means they can do that with better clarity and with better... Say it. They'd be better at teaching Pilates.
Yeah.
So...
And I think one of the things that we talked about quite a bit was the idea that, you know, sometimes... And I know you do this really nicely in your messaging, actually, in some of your content. You talk about your background and going into rooms of people and not really knowing whether or not they got a good exercise, a good workout from it. So it's almost like really understanding the method themselves makes them able to really understand a room full of people and how to get that kind of that juice out of them.
Exactly. And let's face it, look, there are lots of issues or dilemmas or obstacles that we face as a teacher. Some of them are, you know, the fact that you've got to juggle a room full of people with different abilities. Some of them are the fact that you've got to turn up and be friendly and talk when maybe you just don't feel like it. You know, it's an exercise. You know, it's there's sort of lots of elements of it. But the bit I think I can help people with is learning to actually understand how to do Pilates. So that's the fundamental. And if you can learn how to do that, and that doesn't mean you need to be advanced. That doesn't mean you need to be able to do everything. Really, really doesn't. Yeah. It just means that if you can see the whole picture and you know where you are in your progress journey, then you can basically just gives you that confidence.
Yeah.
Just gives you that confidence.
That deep understanding, isn't it, of what you get to what other people will get. Debs, for the sake of the listener, you are currently or almost at the end of delivering your first round of this program, aren't you? So your kind of founder version. Talk to us, if you don't mind, about what that looked like, because we walked through together the kind of we built the course, we created, you know, you did the work and I was just in the background kind of cheering you on. But we kind of got to that point where you launched and you were building a waiting list and doing all those amazing things. Talk about that process. How was that for you?
Well, first of all, I think you shouldn't underplay the amount that you helped me, because there's absolutely no way that I would have done what I did, which is essentially in 6 weeks, go from having zero audience, zero idea of my course, zero idea of marketing, to selling a course to a handful of people, but it's been really successful.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely because we were working together, and every step of the way, I'd be like, right, I'm here now. What do I do? And you go, do this. And I did the doing bit, which isn't that easy, but no, I did that. Not, but you did the this way. So it's kind of it definitely was a joint effort. But the thing that was nice is that it was just a case of, right, let's just get this show on the road. Mm. Let's just do it. Let's just keep on going, keep on chipping away. We might come. And you'd said it to me at the time. You were like, look, just have a go. And in terms of, we'll go. And if nobody wants it, we'll go back to the drawing board and
go again.
Let's just start and go down this road. So that's what we did. And that's what it looked like, the founder journey. I had a very clear idea in my head of what the course was going to be and how that was going to be structured, because I've got a very clear in my head of what I think people need to know.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually building a course and about how to get it to people and what to say and all of the stuff that goes behind the scenes, you know, that was where I was completely lost, and I'm my way.
I'm on the next bit.
Yeah.
With that bit, so when we do the founder launch, for the sake of anybody listening, you do the founder launch and we very much run it as a kind of test version, don't we? So that if it doesn't sell or if we don't get the interest we think, we're really responding to market need. We're not taking it personally. It's not about us. It's about market need and what we're putting out there, making sure we're really, really clear. And so you did the first sales round, you got your people in. What would you say to the idea that we had this plan, whereas I know you created a lot of the content beforehand, but now you've done your founder version and you're going to be reselling it. Would you say that there's anything that you'll be now changing? Was the founder version your final version, or do you think you're going to iterate and kind of shift it a little bit? What does that now look like?
I think I will be polishing it up for years to come in terms of, you know, some of the videos that I've done in the trainings, there's the odd spelling mistake, or there's, you know, it's quite informal the way I deliver it in a way. And so long as nobody picks, because I was wondering whether that was going to be an issue. Nobody came back to me and said, you know, you need to just put some makeup on and make sure that the dogs aren't in the background. Just go again. I think that, you know, so nobody said that yet, but you know, things like that, they'll need to be polishing up all of that. I also got a bit of feedback that maybe there was a little bit like too much in the course. So maybe I'll be stripping it back a bit and offering some of the elements as sort of add-ons. I'm changing the platform, the host platform, because I also got a bit of feedback about that.
Okay.
So, you know, so there's definitely things that are going to change, but I think that hopefully, because people, I think, got what they needed from it.
Yeah.
I think that essentially that will stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel like there was some safety in running it the way you ran it as this kind of beta version, in inviting in people that know it's a beta version? So you have that kind of safety net around, you know, the occasional spelling mistake and not having the perfect lighting all the time and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's not only safety, it's to take pressure off, you know, because the bigger your audience, the more you're, you know, if I was launching this for the first time to 100,000 people, maybe yeah. That'll be my next course.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the pressure. Imagine the pressure on that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a reality. That's not just, oh, wouldn't it be nice to sell it to lots of people? Like, it's a very different thing. Mm. So if it's just a small group, it's almost like walking into a class
yeah.
of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, which I can do. And I've got less people to sort of fall over in front of.
Yeah. And that's one lovely thing about running a founder version, is that you have this kind of, the freedom to just be a bit creative with it, a bit playful with it. You know what? Things might go wrong. It's okay. It's 10 people that maybe I knew before, or that, you know, that understand they've got the kind of early adopter version. Like, this isn't the final project. But I think I work with a lot of ambitious women, a lot of women that are potentially perfectionists or A-types. And very often the idea of creating the perfect course is the thing that stops them. Like, it's yeah. It's the roadblock. So the yeah. founder version kind of gives that soft entry, doesn't it?
Yeah. But you know what? This is kind of a metaphor for life, really. And for anybody in success, you know, the fear of failure is what stops us doing anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is as well, is that I think half the time, the only person that really cares is you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, if somebody's paid for a service, they want it. But do they really care if it goes wrong? You know, if they get their money back, or if they, you know, like, you know, we worry that there's going to be this big pressure. People are only really worried about themselves, really, you know, yeah. on a deeper yeah. level.
Yeah.
And so I think also it's like, what's my purpose? My purpose is to get this information to people and create a transformation.
Yeah.
So if I can do that and it looks sloppy scrappy, but they get that transformation, they get that thing at the end of it. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger picture. That's the rest is really ego in a way. Absolutely. It's really, do you know what I mean? And I'm not dismissing people, because, you know, I would have loved to do everything perfectly. I would have loved to have all the branding done and had all the websites sorted. And, you know, but the point is that I'm trying to make money.
Yeah. And if you'd done all that, you wouldn't have ever launched. You'd still be there. You'd still be there now, yeah. trying to get, because though perfection is a kind of movable feast, isn't it? It's never going to quite get there. But I think having something out there that you can now go back and perfect, and each time you launch it, you'll perfect it. And, you know, having that as a strategy yeah. rather than a destination.
Well, the thing that I think people often want you to change is not the things that you think that they'll want you to change. So it would be more in terms of the content or in terms of the delivery. You know, it's not the things that you might want to be perfect, like the format of the course, or the, you know, all of those kind of outside things, the website, the, you know, yeah, that's yeah. all. Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think we can't always see that. You know, we want to change things, like, you know, make that logo a bit bigger, or, you know, actually they're not the things that people, like you say, that people really care about. And we're kind of blind to that sometimes. And that's where I think the founder version has a real value, because we know what we need to deliver. We know what people need. We are the experts. And this is where it gets confusing, that sometimes people think when you do a founder version, it's because you don't know what you're selling or what you're delivering. And it's right. not that. It's that we know what we need to deliver, but sometimes we lose sight of what people need, and we give them what we think they want rather than what they want. And the founder version gives that opportunity for that real kind of feedback, that tailoring, that, you know, making sure that we're speaking to the client's needs as well as what we know they need, which often isn't what's top of their mind. Sometimes there's a disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can kind of take that the wrong way, I think, in terms of, you can think, well, why wouldn't anybody want to know what I have to share? Or why wouldn't anybody need this? And maybe you're right sometimes. Maybe they really do need it. But the point is, are you able to convey it in a way, or are you able to share it in a way that they're going to hear it?
Yeah.
And that's what the founder launch is about, I think, as well, or any kind of testing, is trying to make sure that the communication lines are right.
Yeah.
And that you can actually get this show going, and that you can actually you know, do those things. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure we're quite similar in that I'm quite a perfectionist, and I would love it to be really, really great eventually, but it's not yet. You should see.
It is. It's really great. Your feedback's been brilliant. So, Debs, tell the listeners what's happening now. What's next for you? Where are you now? I know we're working together in the Scaling Wellness Accelerator. So
we are.
What's the next phase?
What's the next phase? Well, I've got a long list of things that I need to do. So I don't know about you, but it just seems to grow every day that I get a little bit more accomplished or a little bit better in this new arena. My list grows. So I've just got to sort of basically convert, take the course over to a new platform and then get everything, all the tech ready, and then get it out and up and running for sale for people. You know, keep building my audience, keep offering workshops and ways of people accessing maybe the me and the course and the method in a more affordable way. And then, you know, if it all works out, I could maybe think about adding on, like I said, more courses, and, you know, hopefully building that business that can run whilst, you know, we could just have a little cocktail somewhere and say, didn't we do brilliant?
Sounds lovely. And let's do that.
Still be cha-chinging in.
Strike notifications.
Love it.
I love that, because your goal has always been, and I think a lot of people will resonate with this, your goal has been very, very clearly kind of passive. You want passive, scalable income. And I think what's really nice is that you're kind of open to the ways that you can make that happen, that it probably won't happen today. Like we need to build some foundations, but you've got that goal. And I think that will really resonate with people listening to this, because the downside of the industry we're in is that we are really good at trading time for money, and we're not so good at packaging up our expertise, which we have massive expertise, and selling that as a package rather than as a hour of our time. Mm-hmm. I think your goal is going to really resonate with people listening. So tell us finally, we'll wrap this up with I want people to know how they can find you, but also what would you say to anyone who is considering starting a digital product or working with me on a digital product? What would your takeaway be for them?
Well, I would say if anybody is seriously considering it in terms of they are willing to knuckle down and actually make something happen, then it's definitely doable. And I mean, personally, I think working with you one-to-one was brilliant for me, particularly for that starting phase. And I'd highly recommend that anyway. But I think that my advice would be to just start and just do it. And you know, it's amazing how many people there are out there and how many people we can reach these days. So it's just going to be a case, like I said, of finding a way to package that so that you can get it to people and you can communicate with those people. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer that if you actually want something to happen, you're willing to put the time in. When we're talking about passive income, I don't want to get money for nothing.
No.
But I want to be time rich, and so I'm willing to put the time in now to free up the time later. And I think that's what, you know, you're encouraging people to do with building their businesses.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shortcut. It's not an easy quick fix, is it?
No.
But I think the potential it offers is so much greater than any sort of job where you're going to have an hourly wage. I mean, unless you, I don't know, some people might get paid a lot an hour, but you know, there's a cap. There's a cap on earning. There's a cap on how much you can share, how many people you can reach.
Yeah.
So if you've got bigger ideas, I think this is a great portal for that, really.
Great next step. I love it. We'll finish it off there. Deb, tell everyone how they can work with you, how they can find you, all of those teachers out there listening that feel like maybe they need a deeper deeper immersion into the world of Pilates. You are the person for them. So tell them how they can find you.
Well, you can get my Classical Mat Mastery course, and we'll share the links for that and my Instagram, which is Pilates_success. And just also reach out. One of the girls on our accelerated course, I remember her saying, and I'm using it all the time now, I'm a real person.
I love that.
So, you know, if anybody, you know, wants to work with me, then let me know, you know. And because that's what it's about. It's about building community and actually being in touch with real people.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. We talk a lot, don't we, in the group about not relying on strangers on the internet. You know, let's have conversations with people. Let's help people first and foremost. And then, you know, great if they come and work with us. But if they don't, hopefully they've had some kind of benefit of just being part of our world.
So yeah, exactly.
Real people.
Yeah.
Real people on the internet. Love it. Yeah. Devs, thank you so much. Thank you for being here today, but also thank you for being such a joy. And I'm very, very happy that we get to continue to work together.
Thank you.
It's been really, really enjoyable watching your journey. And I've loved working with you. So thank you for coming into my world.
And
stepping away to a stranger on the internet.
Yes, exactly. And long may it last. Good. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done to help. Because, yeah, we're getting there, right?
We're getting there. We really are. We really are. I love that. Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Caroline.
That's the end of today's episode. I will see you back here again next time. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.